Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Lockwood Smith and his fellow MPs returned from their fortnight's adjournment, but it wasn't long before he was ordering one of them from the chamber.
I'm on my feet. I'm on my feet. And I'm waiting for the member to leave.
That member was Labour's South Dunedin MP, Claire Curran, who turned up wearing a Highlanders rugby jersey.
I'm waiting for the member to leave. This House does have certain dress standards.
Of course, but for women, what were they exactly?
Well, the Speaker has decided it's not appropriate unless the Speaker's permission is sought to advertise sports teams in this chamber. Nothing is allowed to be advertised in this chamber. And it is simply, if a male member of this House came into this House wearing a soccer top or a rugby top, they'd be asked to leave. And in order, I'm on my feet. In the interest of fairness across all members of the House, the rules should be consistent on either side.
The Speaker's stance drew support from Labour's shadow leader of the House, Trevor Mallard, who welcomed it as a move towards equality.
It is the first step around having standards for women. We've had in the past Ruth Richardson regularly in this House in a tracksuit, and so that was something which was allowed because I think when the original rules were developed, it wasn't contemplated that there would be women members of Parliament.
But at the same time, Mr Mallard asked the Speaker to examine his ruling in relation to sports attire, advertisements for sports events and sports teams.
I happen to be wearing at the moment the tie that was used when there was a bipartisan approach to get the Rugby World Cup. Are you suggesting that it's inappropriate to advertise that event? And if not, sir, is it inappropriate to support a rugby team by wearing their tie, or as a number of members do, badges from those teams?
The Speaker said he had no objection to sporting ties and badges and said members should exercise discretion.
Can I just draw members' attention to Speaker's ruling 16.8? Where it says the Speaker will take issue with any member who is not dressed in appropriate business attire, whether the member is male or female.
Fair enough, but the Greens Sue Kesley asked the Speaker to be more explicit.
I wonder, given today's incident, whether you could spell out for us what business attire is that we women are expected to comply with, so we could have it elaborated for us.
But the Speaker didn't want to go there.
I don't think women need a lot of assistance on what is reasonable. All I'm asking is members to be reasonable. I'm not going to be pedantic about this sort of thing at all, but I just think it's unreasonable. There is no doubt, order, there is no doubt were a male member to come into the House wearing a rugby or a soccer top, they would not be, issue would be taken with that matter, and I'm just being even-handed across the House.
But Sue Kesley demanded an answer.
Because I, for one, am completely confused
order.
As to what does constitute
order.
Business...
Order! I just made it clear to the House that I would trust members' own judgment on that within reason. I don't wish to be pedantic. And it doesn't need me to indicate to women what is reasonable attire, what is reasonable business attire.
Before being asked to leave, Claire Curran was allowed to put her questions to Communications Minister Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, these four agreements with North Power, Well Networks, Chorus and Enable mean the government will reach its goal of bringing ultra-fast broadband to 75% of New Zealanders by 2019. The rollout will start immediately with schools, hospitals and 90% of businesses covered by 2015. Ultrafast broadband is a key part of the government's economic growth agenda. These new networks will provide an economic step change to our country as we leapfrog many of our competitors to become one of the most fibred countries in the world. The competitive access prices CFH have negotiated will ensure the benefits of fibre are within easy reach of businesses as well as everyday New Zealanders.
Claire Curran.
To the Minister, will funding for broadband for the 303 schools that he mistakenly excluded from both the urban and rural broadband schemes come from the $285 million already awarded to Telecom and Vodafone for the Rural Broadband Initiative? If not, where will it come from and how much will it cost?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, the member continues to be incorrect in her premise, as she is around a number of things around the broadband initiatives. The $300 million was set aside for the Rural Broadband Initiative. The contract is $285, which leaves $15 million set aside for the remote coverage areas and for the Rural Broadband Initiative to connect Zone 3 schools. That will more than adequately cover the cost of linking the schools to their local cabinets with fibre, especially given that the drop costs are funded separately through the Ministry of Education. We had to wait, in fact, to see the UFB footprint before we could tender to connect these schools. And the tender, I can tell the member, will be going out very shortly. Conspiracy over.
Question time was followed by a resumption of the budget debate, which is expected to last all week, and a valedictory statement from Northland MP John Carter. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.